From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, April 6, 2017. And on this day, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents arrest a Somali man in a Portland courthouse, and that's raising concerns from his attorney and immigration advocates. And a Republican state lawmaker thinks people should be protected from discrimination if they don't believe in human-caused climate change. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the law offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents took the unusual step today of arresting a Somali man in a Portland courthouse, a man with a criminal record who was meeting with his attorney. As Fred Bever reports, that is raising concerns from his attorney and from immigration advocates.
According to his court-appointed attorney, Tina Natto, 28-year-old Abdi Ali was in Cumberland District Court to plead not guilty to a misdemeanor OUI charge. After the hearing, he met Natto in a side room. That's where she says a man in civilian garb abruptly entered the room. She assumed he was her next client of the day.
And he said, "No, we're here for him." And he points at my client. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, we're from ICE, and we're here to get him."
Citing attorney-client privilege, she told the man to wait outside. But Natto says when Ali left the room, the man and two others, also in civilian clothing, grabbed him.
Pushed him pretty hard against a wall, handcuffed him. He wasn't really struggling, but he was trying to say things, and I reminded him to try to stay as quiet as possible. And he was let out in handcuffs, and as he was being let out, a couple of the court marshals I saw were clapping as though they were happy to see this young man being let out by handcuffs by, pretty severe federal agents.
Natto says she's not sure what Ali's immigration status may be. She says he's lived in Maine for several years and may have been seeking asylum. In a statement, an ICE spokesman for New England refers to Ali as a citizen of Somalia, and he says Ali had a criminal record that included two misdemeanor convictions for assault. ICE says Ali tried to resist arrest and that he will be deported. Portland City Councilor Pius Ali says the courthouse stakeout will send a chilling and counterproductive message to the immigrant community, one that could mar relations with law enforcement. Traditionally, Councilor Ali says, courthouses, places of worship, and hospitals have been seen as places of safety for all immigrants, no matter their status.
It's going to be difficult for us to have people show up because people were afraid of going to the court out of fear that they may be apprehended and deported.
A spokeswoman for Maine's court system says that while there is no specific policy regarding immigration status and pending cases, court workers do not generally tip federal agents to them, and these cases are, of course, matters of public record. A spokesman for Portland Police, which made the original OUI arrest, says he has no information indicating that local law enforcement provided information about Ali to the federal agents. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
In Augusta, scores of Democrats filled the staircase in the State House Hall of Flags today as their leaders outlined a proposed budget package. They laid out the major goals of the plan, but not many of the details. Matt Leary has some of those details.
Democrats are focusing on lowering the property tax, but retaining the 3% surtax on higher-income households to boost school funding. Republican Governor Paul LePage's budget proposal, meanwhile, aims to lower the income tax, yet still increase funding for local schools. Republicans say that the surtax, approved by voters this past fall, is killing small businesses and must go. House Republican leader Ken Fredette of Newport says the parties are also far apart on their approach to other aspects of education. He says Republicans want to look at effectiveness of programs, not just how much money is being allocated to schools.
No one is here because they want to shut down state government or because we want to go into July or August or anything else like that. But people are going to have to become more reasonable in their positions because we are very far apart at this point.
The buzz in the hallways of the Capitol is that some lawmakers are willing to block passage of a budget and force a partial shutdown of state government over the tax and education issues. Senate Democratic leader Troy Jackson of Allegas says his party has at least put out a framework for what it would like to accomplish in the budget. He says Republicans should do the same so that real budget negotiations can get underway.
We haven't seen anything from them. They keep talking about this 3% surcharge, but they want to fully fund education. Well, what do they have?
Republican Senate President Mike Thibodeau of Winterport says Senate Republicans do want to see the surcharge eliminated. He says they've been working to identify possible areas of agreement to reach that goal and still provide additional funding for schools. And he's optimistic that a budget deal can be worked out.
We're going to work together. We're going to get this worked out. But apparently this was some sort of therapy that they had to go through. Hopefully they feel better now that they've gone through that process.
But all agree that time is growing short. The legislature is scheduled to end its work on June 21st, but it's been a long time since the statutory deadline for completing their work has actually been met. A budget will have to be in place when the new fiscal year starts July 1st to avoid a partial shutdown of state government. Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon of Freeport also believes that a budget will be worked out, but acknowledges that it will be difficult.
This is our proposal, and as we all in this room know, it takes four caucuses to tango and create a budget that withstands the two-thirds number that we have to get to.
The two-thirds vote is needed to override an expected veto from Governor LePage. The Appropriations Committee, which is charged with crafting the state budget, has so far not taken up the controversial items that are expected to require the most intense negotiations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A Republican state lawmaker known for controversial statements about transgender people and immigrants says Mainers' views on climate change should be protected against discrimination. Representative Larry Lockman of Amherst says people who don't believe in climate change are treated like heretics. Steve Missler has more.
Testifying before the legislature's Judiciary Committee Thursday, Lockman quickly addressed the national headlines generated by his bill.
This bill is not about creating a new protected class for people who believe that the earth is flat.
Instead, Lockman said his bill is only designed to make sure people who have views that differ with the science of climate change can't be prosecuted by Maine's Attorney General. The legislation was submitted at the request of Jonathan Reisman, an associate professor at the University of Maine at Machias.
Political speech is supposed to get the highest level of protection from abridgment, not suppressed by a partisan thought police.
Reisman has been critical of climate science and the policies it's generated, and he believes that his political speech is under threat from lawsuits like the one launched last year against ExxonMobil. The suit seeks the release of records dealing with the company's climate research. It was backed by 17 attorneys general, including Maine AG Janet Mills, a Democrat. Reisman is associated with one of the conservative organizations that could be affected by the records request, and he's accusing Mills of investigating him. Mills says it's not true.
I hope that it was clear that Mr. Reisman is not under investigation by my office. We are not trying to squelch his speech on any subject whatsoever.
Mills says Reisman's assertions about the ExxonMobil case are also wrong. She cited several news reports showing that the multi-state lawsuit was not about prosecuting climate change deniers, but instead alleges that the company defrauded investors by suppressing evidence that it knew about the human effects on climate change. Opponents also argue that the bill is unnecessary because political speech is already protected by the Maine and United States constitutions. ACLU attorney Zach Hyden said the bill could have the opposite of its intended effect. Instead of protecting the speech of climate change skeptics, it could prevent the discovery of information that would inform the debate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And you are listening to Maine Public Radio. Finally, today, the first U.S. ambassador to Somalia in 25 years came to Lewiston this morning, where he visited Somali-owned businesses that now dominate part of downtown. Stephen Schwartz also held a community meeting where he told an audience of mostly refugees that he's hopeful a newly elected Somali government can help turn the embattled nation they fled around. Susan Sharon has more.
Somalia is a nation that has been involved in a decades-long civil war. It's had no government or dysfunctional government since the early 90s. It's become the target for extremist groups like Al-Shabaab, and now a widespread drought puts it on the brink of famine. The United Nations estimates half the population will need humanitarian aid by summer. So when the Obama administration asked him to become the ambassador there last year, Stephen Schwartz says he didn't exactly jump at the chance.
When they first asked me if I'd be considered for it, I was like, Somalia, really? What's second prize?
But Schwartz says being the ambassador to Somalia is the best job of his life. And he says working with the Somali people is the reason it's so rewarding. He's visiting cities like Lewiston, he says, because he wants to hear directly from Somali refugees and see how they've integrated into the community. About 6,000 Somalis have settled in Lewiston and Auburn over the past 15 years. Some of their businesses now dominate a section of downtown known as Little Mogadishu. Schwartz paid a visit to several of them, including the Global Halal Market, where Mahmoud Mukhtar is the owner.
What do you sell the most of? What kind of product?
The most of it they sell is meats, halal meats.
Halal meats. That's Goat, chicken,
beef, everything. Yeah. Goat tribe, camel, all that.
Mukhtar was born in Somalia and arrived in Lewiston in 2004. He says he never expected a visit from the U.S. ambassador, and there's a lot he'd like to ask about.
Travel ban, like the problem we have in right now in USA, and a lot of different types of situation, you know.
Many refugees and asylum seekers are anxious about the Trump administration's travel ban from countries like Somalia. Asked about it at the community meeting, Schwartz said he has had no role in the president's executive orders. He confessed to being in the dark about them himself. Others wanted to know about security and living conditions in Somalia, about the U.S. military's broader authority to carry out military strikes in the country, and even about what they say is a climate of discrimination here.
We are what's called a community, a suspect community. A lot of times we are associated with bad things.
Fatuma Hussein, executive director of the Immigrant Resource Center of Maine, asked Schwartz what could be done to improve the climate.
These targeted messages around Somalis, terrorism, all of this, it said it actually magnifies that fear.
Schwartz said his visit to Lewiston is a start. He also encouraged members of the audience to get active politically and to support the newly elected president of Somalia in whatever way they can. Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed spent much of his life in Buffalo and took office in February.
He's an excellent choice. He's picked a good prime minister and put together a strong cabinet. It's a very strong team, and these are people without a reputation for corruption, and these are people with a reputation for getting things done.
Schwartz says he views the new government as an ideal partner for the U.S., to help create the kind of Somalia that the world would like to see. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, April 6, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.